from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The truth is that when those elite receivers left those quarterbacks were still really good. Wide receivers don't really make quarterbacks. They make quarterbacks' lives easier. But the fact of the matter is, there aren't a lot of examples of quarterbacks who lost elite receivers and then suddenly they weren't good anymore. People said the exact same thing when Calvin Johnson left Matt Stafford. It just doesn't end up being the case. And I don't know why we continue to go down this road narratively when there isn't a lot of backing data on that. But the people who, once again, drunk at the well of the Stephon Diggs made Josh Allen and all the stat lines about Josh Allen without Stephon Diggs running its way around, those stat lines are going to look a lot different. That's my prediction for the Buffalo Bills for 2024.
Bruce Nolan on with, when did you say, Evan, it was Derek on Saturday or Derek on Friday?
Yeah, it was Derek on Saturday.
Derek on Saturday. Sports Talk Saturday with Derek Kramer on Saturday. Good morning. 803-0550 is the phone number. Nate Geary is in.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sun's out. We're at that time of year. Sun's out when you get up in the morning. Even me.
Yeah, even early.
Although I don't know about Wednesday, because Wednesday driving out to Rochester, St. John Fisher before, probably will still be dark out. Anyways, all right. I like that point there that Bruce is making. 803-0550 is the phone number. We both had some crazy golf tournaments.
We did.
Over the weekend. The Open Championship, of course, was this weekend as well. We'll have Brian Koziel coming up at 7:30. We're locked in. Joe Marino is going to come up at 8 also. We'll preview training camp with Joe Marino of Locked On Bills. So, all right, it's camp week. Are you, I don't know if you heard me on the way in, I just saw Howard writing about this too on our website. Is it fair we have to be lowering our expectations for the Bills this year? When fans show up to camp, like, this could be our year again, or is it more, do we think we're going to beat the Jets and the Dolphins this year for the division? I don't know. I don't feel like I'm automatically going to be lowering expectations. Like, I'm sure some will, and I'm sure that will be fair, but I'm not all the way there. I'm very curious to see what the vibes are going to be like at camp on Wednesday when fans show up. What's the vibes? Because 2 years ago, it was a party, and everyone's picking them to win the Super Bowl, and Von Miller's here, and they should have won 13 seconds and the Super Bowl, so we're feeling good. And this year, I think, is very different. Very different.
So, I'm not sure that there needs to be a universally accepted thought process.
Vibe check.
Yeah, that you need to walk into this training camp with, because I think, Joe, it probably differs. It differs for a lot of people, would be my guess, and it will differ based on kind of how you're looking at this training camp. I think this is the first training camp that I said this to Sale on Friday. This might be the first training camp since Josh Allen's rookie year
mm-hmm.
that fans, media, like we have stuff to do other than talk about last season.
Okay. Yeah.
Like,
and more than just like, hey, how much is Jameson Crowder going to play on their offense? Like, it's more...
We got work to do. We have, media, fans, everyone's got a little bit of catching up to do on, A, the changes, the roster, B, you know, looking at what the differences are going to be offensively, because there will be differences. And it's funny, Bruce is a good buddy of mine. The sound we heard from Bruce about him kind of pseudo-predicting that Josh Allen's statistics without Stephon Diggs are going to look very different than they have before. I was like, I want to be like, yo, Bruce, what a take. Hot take. It's got to be. I mean, it's going to be remarkably different. And he's either going to prove, again, without a reasonable doubt, that he is one of the best two or three quarterbacks in the league, or it's going to be by the end of the season that in order for Josh Allen to win a Super Bowl or be considered one of the best quarterbacks in the league, he needs a true number one target. And listen, we will never likely, I mean, we will at some point, I'm sure, know whether or not Patrick Mahomes can be Patrick Mahomes without Travis Kelce. But we're not going to know that for at least two or three more seasons. And maybe we'll know about it by next year, because maybe this year we see a visible step back from Travis Kelce from being that like dominant.
Mm-hmm.
There were signs last year, and then he turned it on towards the end of the season, and he looked rejuvenated, and obviously, you know, Bills playoff games.
Can I tell you why I'm not holding my breath for that? I don't, not to get too off subject here with Kelce, but the Chiefs did open camp, by the way. Kadarius Toney's playing running back. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
You know why I'm not holding my breath? Kelce is we're gonna see the decline this year. I don't know how healthy he was last year. Do you remember the injury he suffered in camp?
Yeah.
I mean, that injury, he suffered it. I forgot what the exact injury was, but I do remember that everyone was like, well, this is a 4 to 5 week injury.
And he just played right through it.
And then he missed one game.
Yeah.
He missed one game at the beginning of the year, and he turned it on late. I wonder if he just turned it on late because he finally felt like he was coming back from the injury. So I don't know about it. He's 35, though. It can't be forever.
He is 35.
He's 35. But anyways, like, and actually, while we're on the Chiefs as a comparison, I know Kelce was there, but there would have been a question when Tyreek Hill left of, can Patrick Mahomes still be Patrick Mahomes without Tyreek Hill? And then what did Patrick Mahomes do the first year Tyreek Hill left? He had 5,200 yards and 41 touchdowns. Again, I know he had Kelce, but Kelce didn't catch all 5,200 of those yards. You know, he didn't catch all 41 of those touchdowns. He was able to suffice with other weapons, and that'll have to be Allen. Like, Mahomes started... Look at that year for Mahomes. No Tyreek Hill. All right, can you start spreading the ball around more? Who's going to step up for you at wide receiver? And would you look back and think somebody did? I would look back and say, I don't even know if anybody did. They just had a couple guys who were pretty good, right? Juju Smith-Schuster had 100 targets 2 years ago for the Chiefs.
Yeah, not that long ago.
So he had that year with Juju Smith-Schuster leading his wide receivers in targets. Maybe that's not a bad comparable for the Bills. I think Curtis Samuel is a better football player than Smith-Schuster was, at least at that time, because he had knee stuff. Smith-Schuster did.
Yeah, Smith-Schuster has not really been the same player since he left Pittsburgh.
But I don't, like, I'll tell you who agrees with the idea, though, that his numbers will look markedly different. Allen's betting line for passing yards is 3,700 yards.
And he had 4,300 last year?
He hasn't had less than 4,200 in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
3,700 yards. That would be a big drop-off.
How much, and maybe this is a silly question, maybe this is a question that I should be asking about Bills fans, or fans rather than the media or the betting lines, but which reason would you maybe most mark that as? Or why would you support your belief or the sportsbook's belief that 3,700 yards is a good over-under because he's going to take a step back because blank, because Stephon Diggs is gone, or because you don't know what the offense is going to look like and you think they're going to run the football more? Which reason in your mind do you think is like, that's my supporting data, that's my supporting evidence, is no Stephon Diggs, he's got to come back 600 yards, or Stephon Diggs plays a role in that, but he's still Josh Allen, he's still got weapons. We think Joe Brady's going to run the football more and throw the ball near the line of scrimmage more. I might, as a person that watches the team a lot, covers the team, I might point to not knowing exactly what the offense looks like under Joe Brady, under his version of Joe Brady, more than I would say, you know, there's no Stephon Diggs. But I don't know that that would be a universally shared opinion.
I don't think it's because they're going to run it more. Like, I'm not saying they won't run it more than they have, which is second in the league. Or, excuse me, second, and they pass the ball more. I can see them not being, like, right at the top in pass rate. But I do not think they're going to be where they were at the end of last year. I can't believe their actions to me don't even say that. Their actions say at running back, like Ray Davis, fourth-round pick, and James Cook's back again, and at that body type, you wouldn't think much more workload can go on his shoulders. So I don't think it's running the ball. If his numbers go down this year, I think it's because he has nobody to throw to. I think it's because the worst-case scenario happened, which, hey, that's out there. There's a best-case scenario where Keon Coleman is great right away, and Samuel is a guy that, okay, all the lists you've seen of who's thrown the ball to Curtis Samuel, how Kyle Allen has thrown more touchdowns to Curtis Samuel in his career than anybody else, all that was true.
That probably changes this year, right? Immediately, right?
I can't imagine the numbers very high, so I would think it has to. But like, if Samuel doesn't take a big step from what he's been, he's just a pretty good player, and MVS is shot, because that's kind of the warning signs from Kansas City is, hey, he lost a step. And guy that can only run deep losing a step, that's not good. Chase Claypool can't keep his head on straight. The worst case scenario is out there. And if that happens, most of that to me is at wide receiver. The worst case, because that's where the big questions are. The big questions are at that position, and will they have guys that can step up? Shakir even a little bit, not as big as some of the others, but hey, can you become more of a focal point? Can you become more of a high-volume player? You were hyper-efficient, but part of the reason you were hyper-efficient was you weren't a high-volume player. Now, stepping into a bigger role, you know, can there be more there? The one guy I won't go there with is Kincaid. Like, I can't see a scenario where Kincaid isn't at least really good for them. He might not be the best tight end in football, like we're hoping, but
I want to ask you specifically a question, and in recognizing that I feel I have a similar bias, I have a pre-draft bias with Keon Coleman. Neither you nor I felt he was the type of receiver, or just based on what we saw in college, I think both you and I were like, I don't love that. Like, I don't love the fit. And, you know, especially if you are the type of person that really buy stock into what the analytics community says, what a guy like Matt Harmon says, what a guy like Matt Waldman, people that really watch the game from the wide receiver position with real number backing.
Yep.
Say he should be a big slot receiver in the NFL. That's what he will best be fit for. And that the Bills openly basically came out right away and say we're trying him out at X. Like that's the plan for Keon unless something dramatically changes. So is it because of my several people's pre-draft bias about Keon Coleman that maybe your expectation for him is considerably lower than maybe it should be? When I hear pundits, when I hear people talking about how he could have a big season, it's not that I immediately dismiss it, but I feel like I scoff at it a little bit. I say, I'm not sure I'm really buying Keon Coleman stocks year one. It's really, to me, and listen, this happens in every walk of life. It happens at your job. It happens when, you know, you don't know a player or a person and you have a preconceived bias or a notion about him that, in ways, Joe, it's very possible you and I might look for things to solidify our pre-draft take on him. I think that, I mean, just like I was about Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Bills fans who didn't believe Josh Allen was going to be good, you quickly change because he's on the Bills and you want him to succeed. If Josh Allen played for the Jets, got drafted for the Jets, maybe you are still doing exactly what some other fans and this anonymous GM is doing, which is saying he's overrated. You might still do that for Josh Allen if he doesn't play for your team. But I think I'm wondering in your eyes what has to happen and when it has to happen for you to immediately move to say, okay, I was wrong on this kid. He is the future and he is going to be a huge part of this team.
I wonder if I'll get there before games are played. Like I am.
Yeah.
It's natural. Right, everyone does it in every walk of life. It's natural to look for evidence that supports your preconceived notion, right? Your my pre-draft opinion on a lot of players. Sure, that happens. What I try to do, and again, it's not always doesn't always happen. What I've tried to do with Coleman is, okay, I came in with an opinion of him that this is the guy I want them to, of that position. And listen, I want them to draft that position no matter what. And I'm not going to be mad no matter who it is. But if I can be picky at all, that's the guy I don't want to see them pick. And the reasoning for that for me often was, right, there are two things. One, he doesn't separate. And a lot of the guys who watched the film, too, said that. Like, he doesn't separate. There's some sloppy footwork stuff. The route running technique needs a lot of work. And then there were some of the number arguments, too, about yards per route run that kind of went in line with that of, oh, he wasn't even Johnny Wilson, who was, I think, a fifth-round receiver in this draft, 6'7", giant, lumbering receiver that went to the Eagles, had a way better yards per route run number than Keon Coleman. How did that happen? How was he not even the top guy in his team at things like that? So that was before he got drafted. Since he got drafted, I feel like I am looking for, okay, why am I wrong? Show me why I'm wrong. Why is this going to work? Because that was Allen for me. Allen, they picked him, and it was, okay, I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that the guy I didn't want them to pick is going to be great, and then that happened. It happened. And in part, it was because the thing that no one thought he could get better at, being accurate, he got better at.
Yeah.
Coleman, I don't want to say he can't get better at it, but I feel like it's hard to get better at route running technique and your ability to separate to the extent that he'll need to get better at.
Yeah. No, that's right. He will need to be better at it.
So to me, like, I want to see in camp right away and in preseason and early in the year, okay, like, what are we really looking at for this? Are we looking at someone that just cannot get open at all? And yeah, it's going to all be jump balls. It's going to all be contested catch. Or is it better than we thought? Were we over-exaggerating how slow he was because of the 40 time? Are we over-exaggerating, you know, how bad he is as a route runner? Like, how good is this all going to actually look? I've been looking for evidence and opinions that kind of point to, okay, no, this actually isn't that bad. I have found them. There are plenty. Doug Farrar is one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Doug Farrar's
huge on Coleman. Yeah. There's a lot of guys that are big on. Amina Kimes likes Coleman. I'm trying to think of, there's someone else that I'm missing that really likes the idea of him too. But whoever it is, I've seen a bunch of people that are in the weeds on this stuff that like Coleman, but you know what they all say? Big slot.
Yeah. Almost universally
big slot. I haven't seen anybody, I'm sure there's somebody, there's a lot of microphones out there, there's a lot of websites. I'm sure someone has the opinion, I just haven't seen it or forgotten that I've seen it. Where is the argument that what the Bills plan on doing with him, which is having him be an X receiver, playing on the outside, press coverage, who's out there saying that that's the move for him? That's where I'm worried. Because if he can't play on the outside, I don't know who's doing that. I don't know who on the right. Matt Collins is doing it. MVS is doing it at that point. I don't want to end up there. You need Coleman to at least be competent at that spot.
Let me quickly read a scouting report under weaknesses under this player, and let me see if you can. And
for
I know Coleman? We've done this.
For any player.
I know Jeremy has done this a bunch because
we did it before the draft a lot.
It supports, I guess, kind of what we're talking about. But I want to read this, and then I want to ask you specifically about this player and how he maybe projects or could be similar to Keon Coleman. Not that I think that these players are the same, and I want to tell you why. But let me read through this report real quick. A little upright through his routes, Lateral quickness out of breaks underneath provide no early separation. Operated as a big slot, but lacks separation quickness to open clean throwing windows underneath for the NFL, for NFL quarterbacks. Build-up runner who doesn't seem to eat up with the early cushion. Some scouts question his ability to be productive as a starter, as an outside receiver. Excessive fakes and jukes into breaks at times. Will need to win more efficiently on routes. Protracted gear down, getting into breaks for deep comebacks. So basically a guy that's easy to guard. Right, easy, and maybe does too much with his routes or tries to juke and do. Who would you say that I just described?
The name that was in my head was Treylon Burks, but I feel like it can't be him because
it's not.
I think what we're leading to, this is a good player. This is going to be
a
good player.
It is a good player.
It kind of sounds like Coleman, too, which again is part of the point.
Which is why, yeah, I brought this one
up. It's a good player. Is it Larry Fitzgerald?
It's not.
Who
I'll
is
give
it?
You one more guess. He's currently a current player. Has had injuries the last couple of years, so maybe not on everyone's top of mind.
He's had injuries the last couple of years. I don't know. Tell me.
Cooper Kupp.
That's a slot guy.
Big slot.
He's an amazing slot.
And
but
I don't view him as a big player. He always has been.
How big is Cooper Kupp?
He's 6'2".
All right.
It's not huge, but I guess where I'm going with this is... And this is easy to say about anybody. And again, it will be easy to say for anyone that plays in a Bills uniform when you want to make a point about this. But what I'll say is what you're asked to do in college, what you do in college, doesn't always have to be what happens in the pros, right? And Keon Coleman's 6'3", Cooper Kupp 6'2".
Yep.
Like, these are players that had similar scouting reports. He was a big slot in college and didn't really equate out to a good boundary receiver. And... Keon Coleman's going to have to make that same transition. To me, when I think of those two players, I don't really see the same player.
Yeah.
You feel like they're better at different things. And Cooper Kupp became an unbelievable, if not the best route runner in football, one of the best route runners, especially in short space. He creates separation by being very good at route running. I think if Keon Coleman's going to be great, that he's going to have to build a repertoire of route running like we see from Cooper Kupp.
We got to bring it to Brian Kozio, too. The one thing, too, that's on hand here with Coleman, not even just like the specific... you know, scouting stuff, is we're rewinding with Coleman on some elements to when Allen was a rookie. How much do we want to count how good you were in college? Because, like, I'm looking up Kupp for this. He was Eastern Washington, so he's an FCS guy, which kind of makes this a little tough to compare. But Coleman had 1,500 yards in college. Total.
In his career.
In his career. Cooper Kupp had 6,500.
Isn't that crazy? The production level, yeah.
So, again, that's another element here. Like, how much do I really want to... Like, Coleman never had 800 yards in a season in college. So, again, that doesn't mean he can't do it in the pros. We've seen a lot of guys... A.J. Brown. Metcalf actually was the one.
Mm-hmm.
Metcalf was the one who never put up a monster season statistically... in college. I think his high would have been maybe around the same, like 800. No, not even. Metcalf never got to 700.
Wow.
And then he showed up in the pros. He's a consistent 1,000-yard receiver.
Right.
So it doesn't have to hold up that way. But, yeah, Coleman is so... I am... How do I want to label myself? I think I want to say I'm worried. I'm hoping, but I am worried he's not going to be what they hope. Because in the big worry for me there is, I think there's going to be consequences, if that's true. Hope it's not, but if he's going to be the player that all the draft critics think, instead of the optimistic guys, then I think the Bills are going to have to suffer some consequences for that. Time out here. Brian Kozio, when we come back, we'll get into more Coleman stuff and Bills camp previewing with Joe Marino coming up at 8. But Open Championship wraps up yesterday. Me and Nate had some interesting golf tournaments of our own. Also, this weekend, they weren't as windy and chilly, it looked like, as what they had over in Scotland. But Xander Schauffele wins his second major of the year. We'll get into it with Brian when we come back. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I thought it would help me, and it actually did. I had this sense of calm, a calm I didn't have when I played earlier at the PGA. And for some reason, I was calm, and I felt collected. And I was telling Austin on the 18th hole that I felt pretty calm coming down this stretch. And he said he was about to puke on the 18th tee.
Xander Schauffele. It's about to puke. He already won this year. Second major of the year, he charged at the Open Championship. I think it was six birdies in his, not in his final 10. From 6 to 16, I think he had six birdies. Schauffele wins his second major of the year. Talk more about it here on the Western Hotline, of course. Our man Brian Koziel, now on the Western Hotline. Duster Challenge on Friday, Porter Cup. How was the weekend, Brian? Everything go well?
It was great, and I appreciate you guys and everybody else at WGR for helping us promote the event. We crushed our goal. Last year we raised $4,000 for PGA Hope, and we raised $6,500
right
this year. We had over 100 participants, so it was a great night. So thanks to everybody that supported the event, and Glen Oak for hosting, and the PGA for helping us run it. It was really great. So, but I appreciate everybody at WGR helping me spread the word about it too.
All right, awesome, love it. I that event is so much fun every year. Would highly recommend it to anybody that golfs. It's a great time. And I was, when I had a conflict with a tournament that I was in, I was very sad to see that, because it's the first one I've missed, at least in a couple years. 803-0550, the phone number if you want to get in. You got a golf question, you get in with Brian. So, before we get to the Open Championship, Brian, the Porter Cup, do we, in terms of the winner, anything notable that happened this weekend? How did the Porter Cup go?
Yeah, it was a pretty dramatic finish. I guess just a little details for the men's at the finals there. Chase Nevins out of Virginia ended up winning by one over Ryan Hedholm of Canisius. So pretty cool that we had a local player in there with a chance to win. They actually went to the 18th hole tied. I know you know 18 very well.
Mm-hmm. Saw your video. yes, I do.
Yeah, and Ed Holm had a putt maybe about 10 feet to try to force a playoff, and it just slipped away from him at the end. It was a quick downhiller. But, yeah, that's a really, really challenging 18th. I mean, I know just from playing it on Media Day, you did it too.
Mm-hmm.
It's challenging. The green is very slick, and there's about, I don't know, six, seven bunkers surrounding it. But imagine you're tied for the lead, and it's your final shot of the day, and you got people all around, and there's adrenaline going. Like, that's That's not an easy shot to do. So, it was a dramatic ending, but the Porter Cup went really well, and I know they were happy. They said they had one of their strongest fields in a decade. So, we don't have to. You have gone through the list of players that have played in that event. So, a lot of future stars. Some of the names that played this weekend we will see on the PGA Tour in a few years.
So, Brian, for those that maybe – so they know of the Porter Cup. Obviously, it's an amateur major, essentially. What does this mean for the winner? Like, other than, a lot of these players are young, but there are – we had a local Billy Haynes play in the event. He's not a young amateur. He's won a lot of New York State events and has been in U.S. amateur events. What does this mean for the winner, for guys and gals that'll finish in the top five? What happens next for their, amateur careers?
Yeah, so a win, obviously, that can get you more attention to get invites into other amateur events. The Porter Cup, in terms of, every amateur event, in terms of its status, can give you a certain amount of points and ranking and upgrades and all that sort of stuff. So a strong finish here can obviously lead to maybe an invite to another amateur tournament somewhere else that maybe has more available points for you, and then you can kind of, move up in the rankings in terms of how that works. I think, for Nevins, the guy that won it, I mean, it's obviously a tremendous thing to put on your resume. The Porter Cup's been around for a long, long time. It's one of the longest running amateur tournaments in the Northeast, so people know about it. And, we've said it before, Tiger Woods has played in it, Phil Mickelson's played in it, current player, the current U.S. Mm-hmm. Open champion, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas. So, like, these are players, they know, hey, this is a pathway to get to the PGA Tour. And probably now, you win an event like that, another amateur event, you could try to, maybe that you couldn't get in, now you can. And then that could lead to ultimately, do you get, when you turn pro, does the Korn Ferry event now give you the Korn Ferry Tour, which is kind of like the AAA of the triple of a PGA Tour? Does that really help you out from that? So it's really, accumulating the points. The win can obviously maybe get you invites to other tournaments that maybe he wasn't eligible for to start with. In terms of like finishing in the top group might help you get an invite back to the Porter Cup next year or help you get pushed into another tournament somewhere else. So a strong finish in any of these tournaments can help you get in somewhere else, which ultimately kind of gets the snowball rolling.
Brian Koziol, T to Green, and of course Sabres pre and post game here on the Western Hotline. So Open Championship this weekend, Brian, Xander Schauffele charges on Sunday to win. Your thoughts on his weekend, but also just his season. I feel like this is obvious to say because he won two majors, but nobody did more for their reputation. I feel like this. Scheffler had already been, number one in the world, best we think that there is at the moment. So his season was incredible, no doubt. But Schauffele going from like the guy that couldn't win one to two majors. I think, did he finish top 10 also in all four?
Top eight.
Top eight.
Pretty amazing. And, I mean, if you say, hey, you're going to finish, I think it was 8th, 4th, 1st, 1st, like if you're not in that order, in the majors, you'd say, oh, clear player of the year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've got Scheffler, Players' Championship, Masters, and four other wins, all in elevated events. So that means strong field. So, these two right now essentially are going into the FedEx Cup playoffs with three big events left really in the season to kind of decide it. I don't know. Scheffler's year collectively feels like the better year in the sense that almost every week he plays, he has a chance to win. I mean, even this week, it looked like it was there was a moment yesterday where Scheffler was at 4-under and the leaders were 5. And I was thinking, wow, this guy who for 3 days hasn't gotten a putt to roll in has a chance to now win another major, it would have been pretty amazing. But he was struggled putting the entire week, his short game, which, did he not adjust to the speed of the greens? There's slower greens there at the Open at Royal Troon than maybe what he was used to putting with, but he just couldn't get his short game going. But still, I mean, for Schauffele to do exactly what you said, he's shook the can't finish motto. If you and I were speaking going into the Masters, and we talked about Xander Schauffele's chances, we'd say, well, he's a sure bet for a top 10, but I'm not betting him to win. And he definitely has really shook that for what he even said on that soundbite that Evan played coming back about saying how he was calm and then how he looked at the leaderboard all day. He said he wanted to know where he was, embracing the situation instead of being worried about the situation. That's the sign of a really, really confident player. To shoot a 65 is super impressive. To not make a bogey is even more impressive. On these courses where you can get a bad bounce anywhere, you can hit a perfect drive in the middle of the fairway, but one of those little mounds or little nubs or little valleys could send you into a trouble spot, or it can roll into a bunker when you hit the middle of the green. The fact that he was able to avoid a mistake for all 18 holes in pretty difficult conditions, beyond the fact of the pressure of the final round, like, kudos to him. That's an incredible 65 yesterday.
The other guy that I felt semi-captivated by in this tournament, Brian, was Billy Horschel. And, you know, Billy is, I think, especially if you're a regular or, you know, a big fan of PGA Tour, of pro golf, Billy Horschel is a name that you would know. And I think has been, for at least in my mind for a little while, a guy that is very easy to root for. If people haven't heard his, you know, his post-round comments, he's one of the guys that you go up there, Brian, and get a great soundbite from. I remember, I think it was last year where Billy was really struggling with his game. I think it was the Masters, it was a major, and he missed the cut and he shot like 80-81, like had basically lost his game and was visibly shaken and was, you know, crying and talking about how difficult this period in his career was. And to see him go from that, you know, maybe even less than a calendar year ago, to competing for an Open Championship. And really, Brian, this year, a guy that's got top 20s, that's been competing in golf tournaments. I love what he said. You know, they asked him afterwards, you know, what's next for you this year? He said, well, I'll Tuesday morning at the 3M, I'll be at the driving range at 7:30, grinding it out like and getting ready to win a golf tournament like I do every week. That guy to me, Brian, is a really easy guy to root for, and it feels like his time might be coming, right?
I think that's a great reflection on what he did. I forgot about that press conference that he was so emotional for. So yeah, that's a really nice turnaround for him. Speaking of the Porter Cup, he played in it a few years, and I remember that one of the members in Niagara Falls Country Club told me that they hosted him. A lot of the members in Niagara Falls Country Club will host these players and, you know, let them stay with them for the week that they're there. And I remember, I can't remember the member that told me this, but anyway, they said that when they had Horschel there, that it was an outstanding experience, just a wonderful kid at the time, that they, you know, they love rooting for him, that he's checked in with them, you know, throughout the course of his career. So we know he's a good guy, and obviously, you know, some of the interviews we've heard maybe backs that up too. But he, in his career, if you look at it over the last 7-8 years, he's been really bad at majors and probably a better player than what he's shown in the 4 major championships during the year. So for him to have a chance to win one yesterday, I thought that would have been a really, really cool story. And I agree with you. From everything that we've heard from him, he's a player that you want to root for.
So, Brian, next up is Olympic golf. August 1st, I just looked up that starts, and it's individual stroke play. Schauffele, by the way, who just won this weekend, he won the gold in, 2021, right? Even though they called it the 2020 Olympics because it got delayed. He wins last time. I'm wondering, I haven't read much about this tournament yet. Like, I kind of know who's in it, like Team USA and whatnot. I'm just wondering for it, like, how big is it going to get? How much, you know, credibility will the winner get, or maybe already does? Like, I'm not saying it'll ever be on the same level as a major, unless maybe we think maybe that could happen. I wonder if that the more big names that win it, the further we can go along. You know, where if Schauffele wins it and Scheffler, like if you start getting this, you know, history of all-time great golfers winning gold at the Olympics, that if every tournament that goes by, it'll feel more and more important.
So since they've brought golf back after nearly like 100 years of it being gone, the two gold medal winners, you could probably start that resume right now, Joe, with good names. 2016, it was Justin Rose that won the gold. And then 2020, as you said, 21, it was Schauffele who won the gold. So Schauffele here, who just won 2 majors, going back to defend his gold medal, pretty impressive. 2 names, I think, to start getting gold back. Here's one thing that I think is really also cool. I know they've been talking about it. It sounds like it's not going to happen this week, obviously, or next week, but it sounds like for the next summer games, there will be some sort of country versus country team element involved in the golf with the men and the women together. So I think that's really, 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 really cool. Right now, it's just like, don't quote me on the number, 60, 70, 80 players, top three get medals, and that's it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Which, it's a great experience, obviously, but to have another layer involved where you can play for your country as a team versus also alongside with individually, I think that'll be a really cool element. But so far, Rose and Schauffele, you know, it shows that the cream has risen to the top here in terms of getting the gold medal. So I'm looking forward to it. It's usually a really, really fun venue that they'll play, so I'm looking forward to seeing it. Yeah, as far as the regular season goes after Olympic golf, they've got the 3M Open this week, so some players will play. I bet you a lot of big names will take this week off. Then they have a week off for the Olympics, and then the Wyndham Championship, and then it gets into the 3 weeks of the FedEx Cup playoffs. So with the Olympic golf kind of in between where all the big names will be playing, then we'll have the 3 weeks of the playoffs. The season is rapidly coming to an end.
Brian, I have to ask you. So Joe had a member guest he was the guest of this week. I had my member guest. And we had this is the first time I've ever seen this in a tournament, Brian, a cheating scandal.
What?
And yes, and there was a DQ. And I'm wondering if you've ever heard this. Because I explained what happened to Joe, and he had never heard this before. Someone got caught putting chapstick on their driver face. And like it was mint chapstick, so you could smell it from a mile away.
But you said this to me, and I'm like, what do you mean? That helps? Or whatever. I never heard of it.
I don't know if you've ever come across a tournament or someone that has done this, Brian. But not only was it crazy that it happened, it was like one of those things that was basically the talk of the rest of the tournament.
I know that by putting substances like that sometimes on the face of the driver, that it will minimize the miss and the spin, I guess. To do that in a member guest or a tournament like that, I have not heard of anything like that. Wow, that is wild. Yeah. That's a little extreme to go. I mean, I assume there's not like heavy monetary prizes at an event like this where you would think to do something.
Brian,
like,
there's probably some. There was a $16,000 pool of, you know, skins.
For all of it combined.
And then the winner gets 5% of the pool. Like, there was, I would say, considerable money in it.
Speaking of which, we got to wrap anyway here, but man, I'm not someone that has played skins much in my life at all, but getting a net eagle on a hole, I would have had a stroke on, and not winning skins. That's a feeling. You think all the way up, like, oh, I got it. And then you show up and you realize somebody else did it too. Yeah. But golf's fun.
Because any hole, you're still alive.
Yes.
That's great. You know, at any hole, you can have your magical moment, and then you're thinking, all right, I got a chance now.
Absolutely. Yeah. We did have a cheating scandal. We did have fireworks someone launched off in the middle of a round, though, in the middle of the course, which I had never seen before either. So, yeah, fun week for sure. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. Tee to Green this coming Saturday. Where will you guys be?
Yep. This week, we are at Diamond Hawk Golf Course.
Nice.
So we'll obviously be talking a little Olympic golf in the final month of the season coming up on the PGA Tour.
Beautiful. Thanks, Brian.
Okay, guys. Thanks. Have a great day.
Brian Koziel on the Western Hotline. Time out here. We got Joe Marino coming up at 8 o'clock to preview Bills training camp. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. This is WGR. I've got a spider that's living in the mirror of my car.
I hate car spiders. Hate them.
Outside, though.
Same. I hate them.
Yeah, like the driver's side mirror, the spider is living like under the mirror, and he continues to build spider webs between the car door and the mirror.
Just go through a car wash. Maybe that'll get it out.
I've done that. I think I've gone through 3 car washes. Now I feel bad. Like, this spider has to continue to rebuild his web. Because I'm going through, I have the car wash, you know, the monthly unlimited car wash. So I'm driving through on my way home once in a while, and I'm destroying his web. And he survives it though. He's going through the car wash.
Wherever they hang out, they're like roaches in that they can, like, you know how roaches can withstand nuclear war. Well, these guys can withstand any pressure of water in a car wash ever.
Also, not only that, I've driven on the highway 10 times in the last 3 weeks, going 70 miles per hour down the thruway, and he survives that too. He's living an adventurous life, this spider. He's going through car washes. He's going 70. Anyways, I'll keep you updated. Joe Marino when we come back. Locked On Bills. Camp coming up. What do we got to look forward to? We'll get into it with Joe when we come back here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.